A very good morning and welcome to everyone this morning. For those of you not familiar with the church, just a quick safety notice. The fire exits are through the door that you came in, either side of the main door and out the back here. Those doors out there do have steps, so just be aware. And if you do need the toilets, they are just through that door to the left. Thank you. Thank you to Peter and Peter for taking our service this morning, and welcome to everyone, especially Seth's family, on this special day. This week's notice is Tuesday, 7:30, we have a house group on Zoom, which is the Sunday morning link. Wednesday, 10 a.m, coffee morning in the church. Maundy Thursday service, 28th, that's going to be at Rockingham Road. We're doing a shared service with them at 7:30 at Rockingham Road. Good Friday, 10:15 is the Walk of Witness, and we'll meet at St Andrew's Church corner as usual, and then walk through to Toller, and the service there will begin at 11:15. 12 noon on Good Friday, there is a hunger lunch of bread and cheese at St Andrew's. Easter Sunday, 10:30, morning worship will be communion led by Paul Greenaway. And today is the last day for items of the April newsletter. Now, on the 21st of April, we are having a messy church. So if you can help either with the preparation or on the day, please see Carol, and she'd be very happy to see you. So, thank you very much.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm the younger, better looking Peter. And the most humble, really. As you can say. So, no, I thought I'd say something like that before Peter did. But good morning. You know, it is a privilege and a pleasure to be here, to be here for Seth's baptism. To be at any baptism is always, I just love it. You know, it's fantastic. It's when somebody comes forward and says, I want to follow Jesus and I don't care who knows. And this is going, and when you're baptized, it's showing, it's an outward sign of what you've already done. It's an outward sign of what Seth has already done. He's given his life to Jesus. And that's why it's always such a wonderful thing to come to something very public, like a baptism. It's a public statement. But today is also another day. Today is, obviously it is another day. It is it's Palm Sunday. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 7, we're told this. This is when Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem and leading up to his crucifixion. And we're told in Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and put their garment on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches. And the people cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered Jerusalem. Let's pray a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you entered Jerusalem. Knowing all that lay ahead, you entered Jerusalem to give your life for us, so that we might live. We pray you'll bless this time that we share today. Open our hearts to the truth of what you have done. And may we walk with you and listen to your voice today. Amen. I'm going to sing a hymn which is about that Palm Sunday, Make Way. just like you to stop for a moment and to think. To think about the week that you've had. To think about the times that you have perhaps found challenging this last week. I thought for a moment there was someone behind me just going... Anyway, but to think about the week that you had, I'm sure that you will all have had things as well which have gone well. Things where you can come out and you're satisfied or you're pleased. But what I'd like you to do is to be quiet and to think of all the things which have challenged you first and to put them at Jesus' feet. Just to let go of them and know how much he loves you, to know how much he cares for you, to know how much he wants to carry you through those challenges. Lord Jesus, you know the things which we found challenging this week. You know the things too which lie ahead of us. The things which concern us and make us anxious. Lord, we want to lay them at your feet. We want to put our faith in you and trust in you. But Lord, too, we thank you for those good things. Those times when you've carried us through and we feel satisfied and we suddenly a burden has been lifted from us. We thank you for all the wonderful things that you have done in our life. We thank you for the people that you've put in our path over this last week. We thank you for the times that we've laughed and smiled. For the moments that we've really enjoyed, we thank you that you have been there with us, smiling and laughing too. We thank you that you are always with us. And we know that you're here with us now. And we thank you that you are. Help us to know your presence today as you walk with us. Amen. I wonder what you think about Palm Sunday. Do you know, I'll be honest, growing up I never really knew what to make of Palm Sunday. Because were we supposed to be celebrating? Were we supposed to be happy? I grew up in a Christian family and like everybody was quite quiet on Good Friday and everyone was full of joy on Easter Sunday. And so Palm Sunday, I didn't really know what to make of Palm Sunday. And we had, in Sunday school, we had these paintings with a rather pale-faced Jesus riding on a donkey, and I didn't really understand what it was all about. Really, it was getting in the way of Easter Sunday when I could eat my chocolate. That was what it was, and I kind of meant on Palm Sunday I'd got to wait another week for my Easter eggs. But you know, in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11, it tells the whole story of Palm Sunday and how Jesus had prepared, he'd prepared so that there would be a colt waiting for him, a donkey waiting for him. That had all been organized before the day he rode in. And he knew, he told the disciples what to say if anybody challenged them. But it was all prepared. It was all waiting for what Jesus was going to do. Everything was prepared for what lay ahead. And Jesus was focused on what needed to be done and prepared for the coming crucifixion. But he was ready. He was focused. And he was willing to do the work of the Father. And that is what he calls each one of us to do. To be prepared, to follow him, and to do the work of the Father, no matter what lies ahead. And it's what he's called Seth to do. And Seth is here today, and Seth has responded. Do you know, I think it's probably about 2 years ago that I was doing Alpha with Alpha on Zoom with Seth and Luke. And did you know, I never thought I'd see them both in the same room together, because they just appeared on my screen. And we did Alpha. So it's great to have Luke here as well. And Luke was baptized nearly 2 years ago at Gretton Baptist Church. And now Seth is ready to take that step. And I know that for both of these young men, they've got a really exciting life ahead of them as part of God's great plan. And they are ready to do what God calls them to do, no matter what the cost may be. I'm going to sing a hymn, which is "The Lord's My Shepherd," which is a wonderful, wonderful one. If you're thinking it's the old version, it isn't. It's the new version. And I never thought you could actually improve on the words of old hymns. But, you know, sometimes you can. And I think that this is one of them.
Reading is from Mark 1, 1 to 9. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah, the prophet, "I will send my message ahead of you. Who will prepare your way? A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts with wild honey. And this was the message: after me will come one more powerful than I. The thongs of those sandals, and I'm not worthy to stoop down to untie, I baptize you with the water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in the Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan.
We're going to sing again, and it's a fantastic song that we're going to sing, and it's just right for a day like today. The song is In Christ Alone, and the first line goes, In Christ Alone my hope is found, and Seth has found that his hope is in Jesus Christ.
Oh, Please be seated. I suppose I'd better before, I've already been compared to the two Ronnies, it's the two Petes this morning, so before I forget, I shall have to say later on, it's goodbye from me and goodbye from him, won't I? But it is good to be here. It's good to be here to see Seth baptised. We were considering it 2 years ago, weren't we? And now is the real opportunity, the chance you have to be that witness. Let's just pray that God will speak to us. Lord, we come this morning to around your word and your truth that stood for eternity. And we come to hear it again and to respond to it afresh. And we pray that you would help us to do that through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, on the 4th of July 2017, I was driving along and something happened to me that often happens only in police programs. Someone came and smashed into the side of my car and wrote it off. And in police programs, they suddenly jump out and start chasing the criminals, but in my case, I couldn't get out of the car, I couldn't even under the door, and I was pretty shaken up. So the car was written off and I bought a new car, and then in January, February next year, I forget, about 6 months later, I was lying in bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and the phone rang and my son said to me, Dad, are you awake? It's a good start, isn't it? And the answer is, well, yeah, I suppose I am. Yeah, I am awake, yeah. Can you come to Tesco? Yeah, I can come to Tesco. Can you bring jump leads with you? Yeah, I'll do that. So I get dressed, get out of Tesco, January, cold January night, 1 o'clock in the morning, in the days before the Tesco car park was marked out like it is now, when you could drive around at night and when you could sit in the car park and eat crisps all night like youngsters did in those days. But what they'd done is, my son and his friends, they'd turn the engine on and somehow the battery had gone flat, sitting there all those time. So I get down there and we get the jump leads out and we get to the car and we park it right next to it so you can do it. And then I look at my car and think to myself, how do you undo the bonnet? Well, I've only had it 6 months. You haven't got to rush into looking in the engine, have you? You know what happens in there, or you don't know what happens in there, so you ignore it, don't you? I reckon just before the first MOT, you can open your bonnet. And I was 2.5 years off that. So I didn't know how to open the bonnet. So there's me, leaving the engine running so I don't end up in the same situation. There's me at 1 o'clock in the morning, sitting in front of my car with my glasses, because you need glasses, don't you? Reading the manual, how to open the bonnet. It's not the best thing to be doing. Let me tell you that. It's not the best thing to be doing. So eventually, obviously, we did it. We sorted it. And it reminds me how important it is to read instructions. I mean, we've got instructions, haven't we? We've been reading them this morning. We've got things that God tells us we've got to take heed to. Because if we don't, one day we're going to find ourselves sitting in Tesco, not knowing what to do in a panic. That's what happens. I read in the paper recently about a chap who bought a new washing machine. And you know what chaps like, families, when they buy a washing machine? The wife reads the instructions, the man just gets on with it. And that's pretty typical, isn't it? And this chap was obviously getting on faster than his wife could read. Because he turned the washing machine on before taking those three plugs. You know what I mean? Those three very important bolts that have to come out. And you know what happened, don't you? Awful noise, bang, and the washing machine was wrecked. Having never done a proper spin. He hadn't read the instructions. Now, you're not surprised to hear that God has sent us instructions for us to read and to obey. This Bible was written by people inspired by God, but there's chapter 20 of Exodus are the Ten Commandments, and they are written not by man or anybody else. They're written by God himself on stone, by his very fingers. 37 Hebrew words that we're meant to listen to. Now, some people say to me, I wish God would speak to me. Well, you read Exodus chapter 20. God tells you exactly what you've got to do. The only trouble is, it'll upset you. That's the only trouble, because we're not very good at obeying instructions, especially us men. So, this morning, I just think about Psalm 148, when it talks about the sun and the moon praising God. Now, how does sun and moon praise God? They don't come to church, do they, the sun and the moon? They stay up there. Now, the sun and the moon praise God by being sun and moon. At 3:03 on Monday morning, it's full moon. And we've known that for years. We've known it for years when it's full moon. We know when high tide is. I know when high tide is in my favourite place in Cornwall. And I often look when it is. I look at the webcam so I can see high tide if it's windy. You know when it's going to be, because the sun and the moon, they be sun and moon. They stand there and they do exactly what it says on the tin. They rise at certain times, they set at certain times. And the moon and the sun are faithful to their maker. You can look at the full moons stretching forward centuries on Google, and it will tell you exactly the moment it's full moon. It might be apparently half a second out because of the missing our clocks are wrong, not the moon. And I say that to you because this morning, the one thing that you and I recognise we're not is we're not the sun and the moon. We're not always in the right place doing the right thing at the right time. You know that and I know that. And reading Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, reminds us that we aren't in that position very often, if ever. Psalm 112 says there's nobody in the whole world who does the right things. And so I suppose this morning, as we start reading the Bible and looking at our lives, we start to panic a bit because we realise the distance that there is between us and God. Let's observe our souls and recognise that we don't place ourselves in the right place. We don't say the right things. We don't do the right things. We don't obey God's word. Because sin has gained a foothold. Its influence is universal over our souls and our bodies. We've been twisted and changed. We don't see the truth. And I'm sure you are aware these days we live in a world where truth is very, very scarce. And we're not even honest with ourselves sometimes. Sin brings death to the body and subjects our souls to everlasting misery. Let's be honest about that. That's what sin does. Sin's power is unjust, it's cruel, and it's destructive. And the good that we want to do, we cannot do because of the power of sin. We are twisted and corrupted. And so where are we this morning? This morning we come to the point where we need to acknowledge sin. We need to recognise that we are part of this messy world that isn't going to last that long. It's finite. I sometimes say, as I've said to some young people some years ago, it's our life is this book, but the life that we spend on earth is just the first page. The rest of the book has yet to be written in heaven beyond this world. And that, to me, is quite an interesting concept, that what we have in this world, it seems pretty long sometimes, but it's going to go on for eternity, and we're going to write many chapters. We're going to do that because we're going to believe in Jesus Christ. We're going to recognise that our sin needs dealing with. We're going to do as Seth's doing this morning. We're going to repent. We're going to believe. We're going to be baptised into Christ. We're going to receive God's Spirit and move forward in his power. It's interesting, isn't it? The poorer you are, think of it like this. The poorer you are, when problems come and issues arise in your life, the more chance you are to come to church, to find God, to read the Bible. The wealthier you are, which tends to be the Western world, when problems come, when issues happen, when someone dies unexpectedly, there's more chance that you're going to drift away from the church because you feel as though God isn't sustaining your wealthy lifestyle. In general, the third world will draw closer to God as their needs and problems arise. The Western world will drift away as they find comfort and solace elsewhere. It's an interesting thought, because we are part of that Western world where we expect God to just make things nice for us. That's what we think we come to church for, to make sure the week goes better than we anticipated. Instead of coming this morning with distress in our hearts for the lives that we've lived, to be ashamed, like the tax collector in Luke 18, who wouldn't even come beyond the door. And he stood at the door of the temple and he simply shouted to God, "Have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. I don't deserve to be in this place. I'm messy. I've failed you. I don't obey the commands. And I need your forgiveness and your grace and the chance to start again." I go to a church where the youth group is called 180. It's an interesting name for a youth group. And it wasn't until last Sunday I realised what it meant. 180 means the young people are meant to come to youth group and they're meant to turn 180 degrees from the direction they're going into the direction God wants them to go. 180. Because all of us are facing in the wrong direction. All of us are going in the wrong way. And somehow we've got to turn around. We've got to recognise that we've just passed the junction we're meant to turn off at, and we've got to turn back somehow in order to get to our destination. And this morning, Seth is going to proclaim publicly that he's doing a 180. He's not going to follow and trust in himself. He's not going to depend on his money and wealth and qualifications. Although they're important, these are not priorities for Seth. They shouldn't be priorities for any Christian. We are going to be people who trust in God, who rely on him to wash us from our sins, to cleanse us. Only God can forgive us. If you go to Leviticus, the whole book of Leviticus, it's pretty dry and pretty difficult, and there's an awful lot of lambs and bulls killed, and the blood is sprinkled all over the temple and all over the people. It's quite a messy business. Quite a messy business. But it's there to remind us that in order to come to God and to be accepted by God, we do need to have a sacrifice for our sins. And this morning, as Peter's already mentioned, we start Holy Week, when we remember that Jesus walked to the cross. He went to the place where he was going to give his life, where his body was going to be broken and his blood was going to be shed. His blood was going to stream down the cross. And by faith in that blood, by faith in that sacrifice, because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist said about Jesus when he came to be baptized, "You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," in John chapter 1. And when we recognise that Jesus is that lamb, he is that sacrifice, then we can this morning, in faith — we're not going to kill a lamb this morning and spread the blood over Seth. That's good news, isn't it? Because you've only got one change of clothes, haven't we? We're going to trust in the blood of Christ, a sacrifice made in AD 30 in Jerusalem on Good Friday, or on that day after the Passover, and we're going to remember that sacrifice, and we're going to trust in that to be effective, to wash us from our sins, to take away all those misdeeds, to cover us. It's like putting a cover over us so that God doesn't see our failures anymore. And then we're scrubbed clean and washed by Christ's blood. It's by faith that these things happen. Church is a genuine place of despair and then hope. It's a place when we repent, when we do a 180, when we believe in Jesus Christ as the means of saving us from this mess that we find ourselves in, and when we become baptized as a public witness to all these things. And of course, the final thing that happens, the thing that really has to happen, is that God's Spirit then comes to dwell in our lives. We need that Spirit. We need God's presence. Without God's Spirit, we cannot then go from this place and live lives that honour and serve him. So many psalms lament, "This poor man cried, have mercy upon me." We take refuge. So many psalms, read them. So many of them start and begin like that. And we come this morning to lament our state, and yet to know in Jesus Christ, which is why our hymns are so often so joyful, because we're so pleased that God has done something about our mess that we're in. Baptism is an outward sign that we recognise the need for repentance and action, and not just to carry on accepting the mess that our lives are. There's a cartoon in my paper a few days ago about a man who rang the police, and he said to the police, "Please, can you come? My car's just been stolen. And you'll catch them because it's an electric car and it needs charging fairly often." Which is a fairly interesting comment. But you know, our mobile phones are just as bad, aren't they? How often do mobile phones run out of charge? Often, don't they? It isn't just overnight you have to charge. You have to sit there using it with the plug-in sometimes, because the charge does not last. Why is it we think we can live for God without any charge? Why is it we think we can get from Sunday to Sunday without being recharged? Why is it we can get months without God coming into our lives and touching us and blessing us and strengthening us? We are nothing but balloons that need filling with his Spirit. That's what we are. Just saggy balloons. And we need God's Spirit in order that we might be those people. That witness. That person. And I think once we did that, didn't we, here? We filled some balloons and we let them go into the atmosphere. And we saw them, once they're filled with air, they sailed off into the atmosphere. And I know it's not very eco-friendly, but it was something that reminded us that with God's Spirit, we can fly. And my prayer this morning is, Seth, that you will fly. That God will take you and lead you into places where he wants you. It may be here, it may be somewhere else, but God will take you and fill you with his Spirit and enable you to be his witness and his beacon. Like the sun and the moon, always in the right place, always doing the right thing, and other people can set their clocks by you. And hopefully, you know, many people over the years, they said to my father, we know it's Sunday because we see you going to church. And that's a good witness to your neighbours. You might never speak to your neighbours, but your regular attendance at church, leaving the house and going down to church on a Sunday morning, people notice. And they see that you're someone who loves God. Then perhaps they look at your life and think it's not quite what you'd expect a Christian to be. Well, that's true, we all do that. But we come this morning to receive that forgiveness, to receive that blessing, to be able to be those people that God wants us to be by his Spirit. These are not things that we do. We don't grit our teeth and try and be better, I hope. We acknowledge our failure. We do a 180. We turn from those things that we know we shouldn't be doing. And we seek God's forgiveness and grace and a blessing for the future. Seth's going to speak in a moment, but we do just thank God that he has made available this opportunity to do a 180 and to be rescued. We are being rescued from a dreadful state where our corruption has been complete and our lives are heading to destruction. Only the grace of God through Jesus Christ can bring us that help. So we're going to witness Seth as he believes these things and honours God by going through the waters of baptism, repenting, believing, and being baptised. Let's just pray. Father God, we just pray now for Seth. We pray for ourselves too, that we might be honest with ourselves and that we may recognise our need of you. Lord, come into our lives and bless us and enable us to live for you and not for ourselves, to live for eternity and not just for these next few years. Lord, strengthen us, we pray, and bless us, and help us to believe and to trust, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe Seth's going to speak to us, and then I'm going to come and ask him some questions.
Hello. Thank you all for being here this morning. I really, really appreciate it. I was supposed to be here almost 2 years ago, May the 1st, 2022. I seem to remember that day rather vividly. I remember standing in that witness section and that baptistry behind me and watching my dad get baptised. And today, on Palm Sunday, it's my turn. I was supposed to have a joint baptism with my dad. His went ahead, but instead I just watched. I still felt rather daunted by the idea of loads of people watching, and that fear of loads of people watching led me to realise, hang on, I'm not ready yet. But now, 2 years on, I am ready, and I want as many people here as possible. As Peter Strong said last time, the bus would eventually arrive. Some of you may remember that. Well, today is that eventually. Today is the day I do that 180 degrees. So thank you to all who are able to be with me today. Thank you all for making this possible, to Keith and for Jane for covering my lyrics, to Peter and the other Peter in no particular order, the music group, my parents, Joy for the great food, looks absolutely great, and for you, yes, you, those of you who saw my flyer will know that reference, for being here. And I should give a very honourable mention to Luke. 2 years ago, we did our Youth Alpha course together, and that sort of prepared us for baptism. As Dad said last time, questions were asked, and we answered and responded to those questions. And this is my opportunity to respond to God in whole. So I went to his baptism, and when I asked him if he wanted to come to mine, it was a pretty resounding yes. And the reason I'm getting baptised is because I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. And this is my opportunity to tell God that and put God in control. So I'm really looking forward to actually getting baptised now. This has been a long time in the making. I think it was originally planned for something like 2020. But I think we all know what got in the way of that. So thank you for being here. If there's anyone on Zoom, hello, thank you. And thank you all for finally making this happen. Thank you very much.
There'll be a verse given to you on your baptismal card. Unfortunately, Peter's ruined this bit really for me, because my baptismal verse said, "Don't let people look down on you because you are young." Well, Peter, unfortunately, is younger than me. And he's the better looking one, unfortunately, too. So your verse, as I've written for you on that on the baptismal card, is this. It's from Isaiah chapter 13. It says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." Reminding us that there's nothing you can do only to believe. Repentance and just waiting on God to wash you and bless you. And that's the verse I've given you today, Seth. So my friends, we're here today to hear the word of God, as we've done so already, and to recognise it as it's visually demonstrated in Seth as he goes through the waters of baptism. He's here because he's found Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit, and he's discovered new life in him. For him, the love of God has become real, and the call of Christ has beckoned him, and the Spirit of God will renew him. And I'm sure every day, he's grown a lot since I knew him. I think last time when you were going to get baptized last time, you were about here, weren't you? Now you're there. But from now on, you're not going to grow much taller, I wouldn't think, but you never know. But I like to, well, we know that you will grow spiritually. You'll get bigger spiritually. And eventually, you know, you may even replace many people here. Even Keith, you might replace Keith eventually. You never know. Anyway, so Seth, let me ask you some questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you turn from sin and intend to follow Jesus Christ?
I do.
Will you live in fellowship of the church and serve Jesus in the world?
I will, with God's help.
Lovely. So there's nothing stopping you, Seth, from being baptised in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So we now have to get in the water. So if people want to get themselves in positions where they need to be, and Peter and myself will disrobe and get in. So, Seth, we've asked the questions, we're ready to be baptised, and you consent to committing yourself in public in front of 60 or so people to honour and serve God in all your life. Right, come on down. There's nothing stopping Seth now from being baptised. We now come. Come to baptise you. Seth, we baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Right. I'm going to pray for Seth, and I hope that the church will continue to pray for Seth as the days and the years go by. Almighty Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was baptised in the River Jordan and passed through the deep waters of death. We praise you that you have raised him to life and exalted him in your right hand. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that this baptism may be for your servant Seth, a union into that death and that resurrection of Jesus, so that as Jesus was raised from death to the glory of the Father, he too may be raised to newness of life. Pour out your Holy Spirit, we pray, upon Seth and bless him. And send him forward in the name of Jesus Christ. May you create in him the likeness of Christ. What we pray for Seth, we pray for ourselves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nope, they're going to clear up. You'll have found on your chair today a palm. This week it is Holy Week, and obviously the cross signifies Jesus being crucified and is risen, and that will be next Sunday. If you haven't got one, there's plenty about, but we have a little one which we thought would be nice for Albie or Ivy. Look at that. Is Albie not here? Oh, that's for you, Albie. Where are you when I want you? There you are. You have that then, Ivy.
Can you
pick it? Want one for Albie as well? You've got a big one then, Albie. Is that all right? Good. We're just going to pray. As I've just said, this week is Holy Week, so we're going to pray for the Holy Week. We're going to pray for Seth. We're going to pray for other people. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we remember this week when you were celebrated, when you were disowned, when you were crucified, and when you rose again in glory, Lord. We thank you for this week, and we pray that your work will be significant in the town as we celebrate Holy Week. We pray for the Maundy Thursday service at Rocking Road, where the three Baptist churches will meet together for communion, and we pray for the March of Witness and the service of witness in Kettering in the town centre on Good Friday morning. We pray you'll be there with the people from all the churches in Kettering as they worship in your name in the town centre, where they will be seen to be worshipping you, and people will see what you are all about. And then on Sunday we will celebrate you rising from the dead. We'll celebrate you and your work as we go into the next weeks. This morning we pray for Seth particularly, and the family and the wider family. We pray that you'll be with them this morning as they celebrate Seth's baptism. We thank you for the work of Seth. We thank you for the commitment of Seth, week in, week out, doing your work, giving people the words to worship you. We thank you for Seth and the support of his mum and dad, Hayley and Martin. Just pray that you'll be with them as a family this day and every day. We pray for those that are sick, those that cannot be with us this morning. We pray for the people that are in homes and they can't get here, but would love to be here with you. We'd love to be here with Seth and still worship you. We just pray you'll be with them this morning. We pray for those who run our country. We pray that you will give them the guidance and the help to run the country in your way, in a Christian way. We pray for the Baptist Union this week as they decided not to change the constitution with regards to gay ministers and gay weddings. We just pray that this is the right decision and this is us standing against evil. We pray for the world this week. We pray for the countries that are war-torn. We pray for that you'll see that seek peace and quietness and forgiveness as they again work against evil in these countries. Dear Lord, we pray this morning for David Singh. We saw him come in this morning, a very troubled man, needed help, needed guidance, and we pray that he's gone away here with that guidance and with that help, and you'll just be with him during this week. Dear Lord, we pray for everybody who's here this morning. Just be with them as they go forth into this Holy Week. We ask this in your name. Amen. We're now going to sing What a Gift of Grace in Jesus, My Redeemer. During the hymn, there will be a collection taken. If you please, by all means, pass it by, but it's there for those who want to give. And after we've sung, Seth will return.
Lord Jesus, we lift up these gifts and all other tithes and offerings. We ask your blessing on them. We pray that they will be used wisely for your glory. Amen. It says on my order of service here, Seth returns. Which sounds rather dramatic, doesn't it? But it is dramatic. Seth has returned. And Seth, would you like to come out here for just a moment? And, it's fantastic for me to be here, having done Alpha with you those times. And you've done it. You have been baptised. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And we have a card here for you. And so, Seth, remember today for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Never forget what you have done today. And, they will be singing in heaven right now because of what you have done. I wonder how many of you can remember the day you were baptised?
Yes. I can.
Yeah, well done. if that weren't the case, I'd be worried. But well done, Seth. I think he deserves a big clap. Okay, Seth, you can have it. And we're going to finish with a hymn which I'm sure everyone will know, and it is Shine, Jesus, Shine. And so, and as we go now, in the name of the risen Jesus Christ, I bless you all with his peace, with his joy, and with his love in your hearts today and every day. Amen. Do stay behind for coffee, and there's some lovely looking food down here as well.